You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Henat Baba. Climate change is a juggernaut, and that's not a word I use every day, so I looked it up to make sure it was appropriate. Juggernaut, a huge, powerful, and overwhelming force or institution. That seems right. Climate change can be so overwhelming because, yes, it's a powerful force, but also because the very things that have created it are such deeply rooted institutions. Fossil fuels are so ubiquitous, and the industry that produces them so powerful that changing their dominance can seem hopeless. But one area in which this battle is being fought is in the courtroom, where overwhelming evidence beats overwhelming power, at least in theory. Many environmental lawyers around the country have filed lawsuits against corporations and the government for their role in climate change. Many of these cases fail or stall or are dismissed, but the quest to litigate the climate crisis continues. KALW's Holly J. McDeed reports on why these legal fights are so hard to win.
Nathan Baring says that in many ways, his environmental activism began on the soccer field when he was 13 years old. He's 20 now. He grew up in Fairbanks, Alaska, and he remembers the wood smoke that filled the air.
Basically, my mom gave me the ultimatum and said that if we didn't get this under control, I was going to have to stop playing soccer for my respiratory health.
Baring joined a local environmental group and attended conventions where scientists explained the existential threats posed by climate change. Temperatures in Alaska have been rising at twice the global average, and wildfires have become more destructive.
The Arctic, which my identity is very, you know, dependent on, will be permanently changed on this trajectory. And I won't have those experiences and that lifestyle, I guess, that comes with the traditional Arctic to pass on to my children or grandchildren.
He wrote letters and met with state lawmakers, asking them to act before it was too late.
And the response that I got from some of them was basically, "Aw, that's cute, but don't be a pawn for adults."
But in 2015, his advocacy did catch the attention of Oregon-based nonprofit Our Children's Trust. The group was looking for teenagers interested in suing the federal government over climate change. Baring was in. He says this felt like a way to finally be heard.
A lawsuit is a language that, you know, people in power speak.
So Baring and 20 other young people around the country sued the government. The lawsuit argues that the White House has encouraged the production and use of fossil fuels for decades. The plaintiffs allege that infringes on their Fifth Amendment right to life, liberty, or property. Baring says the COVID-19 pandemic has only reminded him why addressing the climate crisis is so urgent.
COVID kind of charts a map for our future almost, in that the same things that we are going to be facing with COVID in terms of, you know, economic disparities, health disparities, recovery disparities, all of those same exact things are going to play into climate change.
But Baring also says he's frustrated how quickly many people lose focus or fail to see these connections. Shimon Majumdar is one person who does. She's a lawyer with the Earth Island Institute in Berkeley, and she continues to fight for a sustainable planet from home. In February of this year, she filed a lawsuit against several of the world's biggest soft drink, food, and product manufacturers.
We've picked up the costs that are associated with those products, and people, I think, are increasingly feeling like we can't do that anymore.
Up until a few years ago, Majumdar enforced environmental laws for the Justice Department. Then Donald Trump was elected president. That same year, she found out she was expecting a child. She ended up deciding to quit her job and find a different way to defend the planet.
And then, of course, with bringing a human into the world, I wanted to be able to say that I was doing everything I could to ensure that she inherits a world that is healthy and is an enjoyable place to live.
But when she walks along the Shoreline Park by the Port of Oakland with her daughter, she sees a world that's becoming increasingly uninhabitable. Roughly 7 trillion tiny pieces of plastic flow into the bay every year. Plastic is a form of fossil fuel. It takes a lot of energy to make.
Plastic is a byproduct of oil and gas. And from its entire life cycle, from the extraction to the production of plastic to plastic degrading, you have emissions of greenhouse gases.
most plastic we put in recycling bins ends up in landfills. From there, it often blows into the ocean or gets dumped there. The Earth Island Institute lawsuit alleges products from companies like Coke and Clorox are filling the ocean with plastic, and that these companies are lying to consumers by telling them their products are being recycled.
This is the same playbook that Big Oil used, the same playbook that Big Tobacco used, these very sophisticated narratives that really convince people that, you know, this is a problem of because of individuals, not because of the product that's being pushed out by these corporations.
Dave Owen is an environmental law professor at UC Hastings. He says lawyers have been attempting to fight climate change in the courts for years.
Climate change has been a concern for environmental advocates for a long time. But the level of worry increased significantly as the research became more and more inescapable and more dire.
In 2006, Al Gore's film, An Inconvenient Truth, brought the issue of global warming to the mainstream.
Is it possible that we should prepare against other threats besides terrorists?
A year later, the United Nations issued a climate report that unequivocally declared humans were to blame.
A global warning tonight about global warming. It's real, says the report, and it's people who are changing the climate on planet Earth.
Global warming was also deeply political. This footage is from a Republican presidential debate that year.
Do you believe that global climate change is a serious threat and caused by human activity?
Well, do you want to give me a minute to answer that?
No, I don't.
Well, then I'm not going to answer it.
Okay.
Dave Owen says the White House was not going to address the climate crisis on its own.
And so attorneys started to think, we can't wait, so we have to come up with some other creative strategies. And some of those strategies meant turning to the courts.
Now there are dozens of court cases tied to climate change. Cities like Richmond, San Francisco, and Oakland have since filed lawsuits against Chevron. In 2019, the Supreme Court of the Netherlands ordered the government to cut the nation's greenhouse gas emissions. This was the first time any nation had been required to take action against climate change. Then, just days ago, residents in Ireland won a similar case against their government. But Owen says these kind of sweeping environmental legal victories are practically unheard of in the U.S. And he says when it comes to lawsuits filed against fossil fuel companies, the rulings from judges have gone something like this.
This is too big, too political, too standardless for us as judges to touch. That really what you are doing here is seeking a political fix. And that should be sought through the elected branches of government rather than through the courts.
But the attorneys filing these climate change lawsuits say that's the point. In cases like Juliana versus United States, plaintiffs argue that the federal government has contributed directly to the pending climate catastrophe.
We're here on very basic grounds that every single citizen has fundamental, inalienable rights to natural resources necessary for life.
Earlier this year, a federal appeals court issued a ruling in that lawsuit, and the judges were sympathetic to the argument the plaintiffs were making. One judge wrote, "In the mid-1960s, a popular song warned that we were on the eve of destruction." The plaintiffs in this case have presented compelling evidence that climate change has brought that eve nearer.
The Eastern world, it is exploding.
Failure to change existing policy may hasten an environmental apocalypse, the judge goes on to say. But then the judge concludes, such relief is beyond our constitutional power. Rather, the plaintiff's impressive case for redress must be presented to the political branches of government. Philip Gregory, an attorney in this case, has filed a petition asking the full Ninth Circuit to review the opinion because he disagrees with the argument, and he still believes they can win. He says the courts have taken on big issues before, like Brown versus Board of Education, where the Supreme Court ordered schools to desegregate.
It wasn't like the president said at the time of Brown versus Board of Education, oh, we need to deal with segregation. It was the courts who were out front, and it was the kids that really forced the courts to address these issues.
Nathan Baring filed this lawsuit when he was 15 years old, 5 years ago.
it's our generation and it's our future that is being harmed. So it makes sense that we're the ones that are having to show up right now.
But this youth-led movement is also running out of time. Scientists say we have until 2030 to stop irreversible damage from climate change. Here's attorney Philip Gregory again.
If you ever get involved in litigation, you learn that justice moves slowly. It's not like we file a case, someone files a case, and there's a court order where they win the next day. It's more like they win in the next decade, and we don't have a decade.
Gregory believes in the courts, but he also says this issue must be tackled on multiple fronts. The attorneys taking on climate change litigation agree. It will take a movement, plus persuasive grandchildren, to finally push judges to rule in their favor. For Cross Currents, I'm Holly J. McDeed.
Holly is KALW's justice reporter. Find more of her stories at KALW.org.